Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No.
Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropping presentations on over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs. Good afternoon. It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. The Drive with Tay and Piper Lante, Derek Piper. NHL Draft tonight, 6 o'clock ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fired up for it.
Yep.
Excited to see, not excited to see the Hawks get Connor Bedard, but I am excited to see what the Blues are able to accomplish in this thing. And Blues haven't had a top 10 pick in so long. It's like, wow, this is kind of strange. I think Petrangelo was the last one, and that was a big part of winning a Stanley Cup. So it helps to draft high. There's no doubt about that. And the Blues have always been one of those teams that have been good enough, playoff team, that they're never really drafting high. So they've had to do a lot of work to stay good, and for the most part have. Of course, they missed the playoffs in 18, then turn around and win it in 19 after having one of the worst records in hockey, if not the worst, at the Christmas break, essentially, and then all of a sudden Gloria happened on a road trip in Philadelphia when all the dads, not all of them, but a lot of the dads were on this road trip with their sons. It was kind of something that one of the guys started. I don't know if it was Perron or one of the guys started that. And so the dads and the sons all go into a bar after a win against Philly, and Gloria's playing. And for some reason it stuck. And now every time I hear the song, I'm like, oh, boy, does that bring up some good memories. So what are some...
I found a Snapchat memory recently on my phone. It says it's been 5 years. How many years has it been for the...
19.
Okay, maybe it's been less than that. So 4 years ago. And my wife is a big Blues fan.
Oh, that's
and
right.
I pulled it up. I didn't know what the date was. And I watch, and it's her trying to... She's struggling with it, trying to pop a champagne bottle outside her parents' house after the Blues won the Cup. And then... pretty humorous video.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was like, oh yeah, that's the night the Blues won it all.
That is cool. That's what we were here in Philo, and my buddy Corey Witt had come over, and we went over to Randy and Patty Harshbarger's house. They've got a pool, and we had made this deal that if the Blues win, sweater and all, we're going into that pool. And we did. We jumped in, and then we went up to Daly's and cap the night, you know, and I'm like, yeah, let's do that. So
did you dry off or just walk in?
I think
like
we just walked
wet.
In. I think we literally just walked to the very back and said, hey, we're out here. If you can bring us beer, we don't want to come in and get everybody wet. But I know both my boys were home for that too. So that was That's a memorable great. Night. What are some other memorable? Do you have like a memorable sports? Is it the Bulls?
I was probably too young for that.
Yeah.
It's definitely game 6 of the World Series in 2011.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
It is probably the number one. Well, one of the top for me. I remember I was in college and my buddy was over and we were just watching down in my apartment and we like dogpiled after that freeze home run. I mean, the elation, like the emotional roller coaster.
Oh my goodness!
Of that game was so tense, being
Josh
down to the
Hamilton.
Final out so many times, and just the feeling. I mean, every Cardinals fan after that was like, "All right, we're definitely winning Game 7."
Yeah, yeah.
There was that one, and then everybody if you're an Illini fan, remembers the Arizona comeback. And I remember telling my brothers, like, you can't get up from your seat. Don't ruin the mojo during this comeback. I got to go to the bathroom. I don't care. You got to stay in your spot. And I remember I would have been in middle school, but my mom drove us up. And when the team came back, there was just a line of Illini fans. I think it was maybe down Green Street. And just remember high-fiving D-Will and D and those guys. And that's one I'll never forget.
That was cool. And I know a lot of people that gave up on that. They gave up on that game and didn't see the ending of it. But I was lucky enough I did. And, you know, I've said this so many times, I'm not going to go into the full story. But the irony of those two events you just talked about is that I had tickets to the next game. So I had tickets to Game 7 of the World Series. That's when Stevie had asked me at the start of the series, at the start of the playoffs, he's like, hey, I'm going to give you first dib, which is super nice of him. He's like, I'm going to give you first dibs on any playoff ticket. And I said, I'll take Game 7 of the World Series. And he looked at me with this funny look, and he's like, you don't want Game 1 of the playoffs? I'm like, nope. I said, I've been to the playoffs. I've been to the playoffs and I've been to a World Series because I went in 04 with my dad. And so I said, I want Game 7 of the World Series in case it happens in St. Louis. I want to be there. And lo and behold, I'm there for Game 7. And it turned out that I ended up going to Game 2 as well. I took Lucas to Game 2. Albert didn't cut off a throw from right. Still drives me nuts. But I guess he did enough kind of to make up for that. And then, yeah, we were there Game 7 to watch the Cardinals win it. That was pretty cool, man. That was really cool.
That's why he went to Texas and hit three homers in a game.
Yes, make up for that.
Yeah, because he knew you were real upset about
that
it.
That is
probably
correct.
Blasted him on the radio.
Yeah, I'm like, you ruined my son's first World Series appearance and mine. Yeah, but you know, Freeze hit a big double in Game 7 of that. What do you think?
Funny? I was just going to say, Game 7 of that year is so foggy to me because Game 6 is so memorable. Yep. I barely remember Game 7.
Well, the Rangers jumped out 2-0, I believe, and then Freeze came up and tied it with a double. And it kind of relaxed everybody again. And then we ended up, I think Alan Craig homered to the right field bullpen of the Cardinals to make it 3-2. And then I think ultimately the Birds won 5-2. And that's when Alan Craig made the catch. Is that Jason Mott, right, came in for that one?
Yes.
And Craig made the catch and left. And then he and was it Skip Schumacher?
Probably, yeah.
Was it Skip? No.
Or was Skip 06?
No, it was Tyler. Oh, my gosh. Jay.
John Jay.
John Jay. Because John Jay and Alan Craig were running in, and they looked like 12-year-olds that just won the Little League World Series in Philo. And they were, like, jumping on each other, and it was just like, wow, how cool is that? So yeah, that was a memory. I'm trying to think of other cool. Now, obviously, I don't want to even put these in. There's no sense in putting them in order. Walking into the Super Bowl, that was incredible. Number one, I never thought Arizona would be in a Super Bowl, but just going to that was really cool to experience. So it's just cool. And then when the Cardinals won in 06. My dad had died earlier that year, and he was a huge Cardinals. He's the reason I was a Cardinals fan. And he passed away June 16, 17 of 06. And I was in Chicago at a bar called Sedgwick's, which is a Cardinals bar. And I know I've told you the story. The next day we went to Lambeau to watch the Cardinals and Packers. But I was sitting in there when the Cardinals with Dreamweaver. Did they win that in four? Did they sweep the Tigers? I think they did. So that was, I've had some good memories with sports. It's time to get another one, though. It's been a while.
You were at the 04 with the Red Sox?
I was there for the game that the Red Sox
clinched. Did you run into Jimmy Fallon and Drew Barrymore?
No. In fact, I was sitting in dead center field. Jason Marquis started that game, and I believe, if I'm correct, Johnny Damon led the game off with a home run. And you were like,
Sounds right.
But we had four tickets, my brother and my dad and Gene at the time. And then so they all picked their tickets, and Lance wanted to sit close to dad because dad was, you know, a couple years removed from passing away, and he was kind of in a wheelchair. And so Lance is like, I'll sit closer to him. So the last seat remaining was out in dead center field. So I walk out there, and there are three girls right next to me just fired up, drinking beer, just and so I'm like, well, hi guys, you know, and so we're sitting there, and I, of course, I'm like nervous for the game and everything, and I'm like and excited, and I'm like, you guys want a beer? And they're like, yeah. And then I realized it's like $50 for all of us, and then you know, I was like, boy, ah, this is, I got to get away from this, but yeah, I was there unfortunately for that one. So I'm actually 1-2 in World Series games there, but I was there for Game 7, which was awesome.
Great.
I never will forget Stevie's face. He said, what do you think? Bub, you know, he calls you Bub. Mm-hmm. And I looked at him, I said, I'll take Game 7 of the World Series. And he's like, what? And he kind of gave me this look. I'm like, Stevie, I know the chances of them getting there, not great, but I said, if they do, whew. And they did. Which was awesome.
Illinois basketball-wise, I was at the Illinois – well, we mentioned the Arizona game.
Yes.
And you had tickets to the Louisville
if they went to the
Final Four. So
right.
You're probably thinking, man, were you still going to go to the Final Four even if Illinois lost?
Yeah, we were.
It was St. Louis, far of a trip.
I remember Game 6, the one you talked about with Freeze, I was in my basement here in Philo gripping that Fernando Vina bat. And I remember after Josh Hamilton homered, I remember thinking to myself, I'm going to be buried – with 4 Game 7 World Series tickets. That's going to be in my grave with me.
Man.
And all of a sudden, yeah, here come the Cardinals, right? Berkman with a big hit. I've told you this 100 times. I think it's the most clutch hit I've ever seen in my life was Lance Berkman. And the reason I say that is because here's a guy that's from Texas, went to Rice, played for the Houston Astros. So he spent his whole career essentially in Texas. Now he's playing the Texas Rangers for a World Series. He had never won a World Series. And it's down to him with 2 strikes to try to tie this game. And he could have been, think about a guy that spent his whole time in Texas, essentially, and then turning around and losing to a Texas team in the closest he ever came to winning a World Series. Because I don't think he ever won one with Houston, right?
I don't think so.
I don't think he did. I don't think he had
ever
won.
They went to the World Series and lost to the White Sox.
Yeah. So I remember thinking, I can't imagine the pressure on him right now to process all of this. And how almost in a weird way it would go down with such agony that you were that close and you made the last out against the Texas Rangers team. And I would be like, ugh. And then he just dumps one into center. And the Rangers were playing like doubles baseball. I mean, they were back at the wall. And he dumps it into center and scored 2 to tie it again, right? Did that happen then? And then Hamilton homered and then Free? I don't even remember.
I think that's right.
And then
it's all a blur.
Honestly, the right fielder for the Rangers, who was it?
Oh.
He should have. I mean, he did
Nelly
not.
Nelly Cruz, right?
Yeah, Nelly Cruz. He did not make a good effort on David Freese's home run.
We could go on this for hours.
I know. Rick was at Game 7 in Kansas City in 85.
He also asked any Illinois football. Oh, the Game 7, that's the Dinkinger, right?
Yeah, that's the Dinkinger, man. Oh, gosh.
Illinois football memories?
Probably the coolest one for me without thinking about it. I remember a Liberty Bowl game that we won big. Johnny Johnson, I think, was the quarterback. But for me, it'd be Thanksgiving Day when they won the Big Ten title. It was me and 20,000 other fans. Mm-hmm. But I was covering it for WAND, and I told you after they won it, I found myself in the middle of the scrum. And I was like, I'm going to get hurt. I mean, these guys are huge with pads on, and I don't have pads on. And Mike McGee from Springfield grabbed my shirt and ripped me out of the pile. And I'm like, whew, thank you, Mike. I'm like, it made for some cool video at the time. But, like, at first I was just around, like, 2 or 3 guys, you know, like Kittner. Well, no. Yeah, that would have been Kittner and those guys, right? And they were jumping, and then all of a sudden, the next thing I know, there's like 30 guys around me, and I'm right in the middle, and I'm like, this is not going to end up well. Not for me. So luckily, Mike McGee ripped me out of it. I just told you the story the other day. Literally, was that yesterday? About Ty Myers, when I was in Columbus, I was at the Shoe when Illinois beat them, and that was Kittner. And Ty Myers, who was from Ohio, and I'm guessing always wanted to play with the Buckeyes, but he, after Ohio State had gotten within 7 or 3, he intercepted a pass and just dove into the end zone for a touchdown. And I remember thinking, man, what a moment for him. So, yeah, that'd probably be my two cool.
One of those for me 07, the Illinois-Penn State game,
oh,
where Penn State, I think they, I don't know if they kick a field goal on their first drive, and they kick off, it would have been Illinois' first offensive possession. Aurelius Benn takes it like 100 yards to the house, and that place was jumping. Like, it was sold out. I remember so many years growing up in Champaign, going to Illinois games, and you either leave at halftime,
mm-hmm,
or you're with your buddies, and you're like running the ramps, like going up to the second level. Like, the game's going on, you don't care. There's been so many reasons not to care, but then your team is really good.
Oh, yeah.
And just the environment there, it was just different. So that one was definitely one for sure.
That's cool. A night game is awesome.
Yes.
That
well, I don't know if that was a night game. I think that was an 11 a.m. The,
oh,
the night game that
Not
year
bad.
was Michigan. Kyle Hudson dropped punt.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Arizona State was a night game, right? That was a pretty fun one.
It was.
That was pretty fun.
Brock Osweiler coming to town. I do remember the Michigan game. With it being a night game, people had a lot of time to pregame.
Yeah.
And there was an Illinois fan that was – he was very hydrated.
It wasn't me, was it?
I don't think it was.
Okay.
He was crying.
Oh.
Like, Illinois had went up 7-0 and then, like, picked off Chad Henne or something. And he was, like, he could not believe that Illinois was – he
Are
was
you
so happy
serious?
He was, like, crying.
Holy cow.
But
there's something about a night game that gets me – I don't want to say emotional, but I get – you know, like, when you say the hair stands up on your arms.
Yeah.
Like, when I walk into a night game at Memorial Stadium with a big crowd – there's something different about that. There's something different than an 11 a.m. or a 2:30 game. And I know the obvious difference is that the lights are on and it's dark. But it's there's something about it that just – it's that – I think it might be the fact that – look, I don't mean to – I'm sorry, Illinois. Sorry, Brett Bielema. I mean, I hope we get to this point. But this has never been a big, you know, big-time college football setting, right? I mean, there hasn't been many – of those primetime games like that, like you see like at Alabama and LSU and Ohio State and Michigan. And I think so every time there's a night game and it's full, I have a feeling that that's what it feels like to go to a Bama game or an LSU game or, you know, Death Valley at night or Ann Arbor when they're facing Ohio State or, you know, just – I just always get that
the
feeling
swamp
like
down
or the swamp.
Gainesville.
So when I walk into a setting like that at Memorial Stadium, I'm like, this has got to be what it feels like every week for those guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I'm like, you know, sign me up for that drug because it is an amazing feeling to, you know, just to watch that. And, yeah, that – this will be cool if Brett Bielema can get this, and this will lead us into our next segment. It'll be cool if Brett Bielema can get this team to where it's rolling to 7 or 8 wins a year and more. It's not that I don't want the 10-win season, don't get me wrong, but if you are going to be competitive to where you're winning 7 or 8 each year, that's a lot of fun at Memorial Stadium. That's a lot of
fun. It is, and a lot of huge games.
Huge games. And that changes someone like me that for too many years was there only for the tailgating. And I would go into the games, but that was the least of my excitement.
Mm-hmm.
It was the tailgating. It was seeing friends. It was having fun. And then it was almost like, oh, man, this has all got to end because I got to go in and watch football. And then last year, completely changed that around. Like, don't get me wrong, I had fun tailgating, but I was there squarely for the game. And it completely changed my mood. Not my mood. I was happy, but it changed my mindset on everything. From the amount you drink to, I mean, the focus was the football game, and I'm excited to get that going again this year. So, look at me. I'm, like, maturing.
No, oh, he's growing up.
52-year-old finally drank growing up. Let's take a break. When we come back, Illinois football, I'm sticking to it this time. Do you have them up, the over-unders?
Yes.
Okay, from 24/7
sports. Yep.
We will sports. Yeah, we will go through those and kind of give our thoughts on how these teams, will look this season. That's a way early look, but, man, I'm ready to start talking football. We'll do it next. It is The Drive.
Jets is hiring. Call 217-352-9992 or stop into 1907 West Springfield Avenue near Round Barn in Champaign. Jets is open till 10 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays till midnight. Are you looking for a side hustle? Here's Josh from Jets talking about the benefits of doing deliveries.
When I was a delivery driver, it was amazing how much the actual amount of money I had just shot right up. You have money in your pocket every single day.
For details on joining the team, visit JetsPizza.com.
Imagine you're in the south of France in October when the temperature will be 70. Hi, it's Stevie J, and it's time to travel. Join Larry and Elena Canfer for their Off the Beaten Path to the South of France and Italy, September 29th through October 9th. The South of France is noted for its Mediterranean lifestyle and unique artists like Van Gogh, Picasso, and Chagall. They'll go off the beaten path to explore picturesque villages and seaside towns. You'll enjoy delicious meals with the greatest olive oil and wine. Then you'll go east to Milan, the Italian city of design and fashion and Ferraris. Again, the trip leaves from Champagne September 29th and goes through October 9th, non-stop flights both ways. It's the South of France and Milan, Italy, with Larry and Elena Canfer. For complete details and to sign up, go to steviejtravel.com. That's steviejtravel.com. Stevie J Travel. Where do you want to go?
In an ever-changing real estate market, it is so important to work with experienced agents like Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor teams at Taylor Realty Associates. They have the knowledge and expertise to get your home sold for the most amount of money in the shortest amount of time. Trust the experience and success of Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor team at Taylor Realty Associates. Give them a call today at 217-355-0700 or visit them online at taylorboys.com. That's taylorboys.com.
If you're looking for a pre-owned car, truck, or van, look no further than Sarah Champagne. You know them for their five incredible vehicle brands, the BMW, Honda, Subaru, Buick, and GMC. But did you know they also have over 100 used cars, trucks, and vans in stock right now? And at Sarah Champagne, they will take care of you. You can trust them. And prices begin at under $2,000. Stop by Sarah Champagne. They're at Burwash and Savoy, or go online, sarahchampagne.com. That's Sarah, S-E-R. RRAChampagne.com.
If you need a new business sign or signage for your golf outing, we can do it and help you get noticed. Hi, this is Kirk Lehman, owner of Aftershock Decals and Design, and we can produce any kind of signage you want with our graphic design team. You want a custom design? We are here for you, and we are easy to work with, I promise. So visit us at AftershockDD.com to get a quote and get noticed. That's AftershockDD.com. Get noticed.
Here's what somebody recently said at Pards in Urbana. I was there just a few minutes and somebody came up and asked if I needed help, and they were incredible, helping me find the size of boot I needed, and then I bought a second pair too. Everything was friendly, everything was excellent. Visit Pards in Urbana, 206 North Maple, between Main and University in Urbana. It's Pards Western Shop since 1968. Or go online and visit pards.com. Pards.com. Switching is easy. We do it all the time. We switch on the lights. We switch TV channels. Some of us switch partners while square dancing. Well, that's a stretch. But what's not a stretch is how you can switch and save with State Farm. In fact, State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw, right here in Champaign-Urbana, can switch you over so you can start saving today. Kurt and his team are ready to welcome you to the State Farm neighborhood. It's easy to switch and save. Just give them a call when you want the real deal. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Want unbeatable prices on your next furniture purchase, but also seeking that local, hometown feel? Look no further than Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola. Customers rave about their friendly, established staff, as well as their great selection, amazing prices, and second-to-none delivery service. They're a third-generation local business, and they've always got your best interests at heart. Find the look you love for less. Open 9 to 5 Monday through Saturday, but always available online at KelseyFurniture.com. That's KelseyFurniture.com.
Think of the excitement on that special someone's face when they receive a beautiful floral creation from the Blossom Basket Florist. Flowers are God's creation that express beauty and love. Make that special occasion unforgettable with flowers that will brighten their day. They do flowers for all occasions and deliver in Champaign, Urbana, and all the surrounding communities. Visit the Blossom Basket Florist online at blossombasket.com or visit them at 1002 North Cunningham Avenue in Urbana.
I've got to clean out this garage. Let's see. What's the cheapest and easiest dumpster service in our area?
Here's what I found. The doggy bag.
Think she's broken. I'm not looking for takeout. Siri, try again.
The doggy bag from Bulldog Disposal in Mahomet.
Doggy bag? What's that?
If you got junk that needs to go, but you don't want the hassle of having an enormous dumpster delivered, grab a doggy bag. Keep it as long as you need. They'll come take it away. For more information, just visit BulldoggyBag.com.
That's BulldoggyBag.com.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Max Kellerman. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Hey! The Slim Shady just joining the crew here. It's the Tay... What? No, it's not. It's the Drive.
Tay and Piper.
Yeah, Tay and Piper. Drive with Tay and Piper. If you're going to start running the show more often from here, should we just... switch it, the Drive with Piper and Tay. I'm fine with that.
Doesn't sound as good.
I'm fine with that. I sound like so egotistical all the years with me always having the first name on a show. I'm like, well, I don't really need it to be that way. But, hey, we have fun with it. You can weigh in 217-359-2255. I know there's a couple of more memories that came in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let you read those. It's too hard for me to do it. I can't see anything.
Yeah, 217. This is a sad story. That Cards game six with Freeze, I was a freshman at SIU, and as an idiot, left my dorm in the towers in the seventh to go pregame before going out. Midway, as I was walking towards the triads, I just hear these loud yells coming from everywhere. I probably missed one of the best Cards moments ever just to get started drinking early.
You had that early start, though.
Yeah,
you celebrated as hard as anyone. That's the way to look at that.
Another 217, best basketball memory were Iowa's players rolling on midcourt. TJ Wheeler threw the pass to Andy Kaufman, who hit the shot that sent the Hawkeyes to the locker room in total despair.
I don't know how Andy Kaufman didn't break an arm. He was tackled by 15 different guys after that. And I don't know how he didn't break an arm in that.
Heath has a couple... low points being at a 0-0 tie against Northwestern in 77 or 78 under Moeller, or the game under Zook when they lost 60-something to 3. Was that the Penn State night game? I remember. I was there.
I was in Beardstown at Chris Fritz's wedding. It was a buddy of mine from college, from SIU, and we were watching that game, and somebody that doesn't know me that well yells across the bar. He's like, "Hey, Tay." And I looked over, he goes, "You have to talk about this
stuff." Yeah.
And I'm like, thank God I'm here. Ugh.
High points. Family had season tickets in 83, so there was got to see Michigan beating Michigan 16-6 and Ohio State 17-13 and tear down the goalpost both times.
I think the 16-6 game, the Michigan game, is what they took the picture of as the most attended game at Memorial Stadium. If I'm correct on that, because I think we have that picture in the basement of my mom's house. So, yeah, pretty cool. That's cool to remember that's things awesome. Like that. Yeah, to have memories and go back and – but, yeah.
We can keep going, but we got to get to this football.
We do. We do.
We teased over and over again.
I am going to tell you this. Before we do that, I'm going to tell you that this segment is brought to you by Game Day Spirit, GameDaySpirit.com. Two locations. You know where they're at. Neal Streets. Also, Green Street. Check them out at Game Day Spirit. They have anything you need, Illinois, and I'm guessing that even if they don't, they could probably attempt to get it. They do a wonderful job with that. They do a couple of stadium sales each year where they reduce costs so much and it makes it so affordable. And it's anything. I mean, you can get a t-shirt in there for $10, or you can go spend $150 on a, I know they have the Illini hockey jerseys that were really cool. I don't know if those are still around. The baseball, when they had the cool blue on the baseball, they've just got a lot of cool stuff. And even if you just need an orange polo, golf polo to go look better on the golf course, because we know we're not good. So take them out, GameDaySpirit.com. Don't take them out, check them out, GameDaySpirit.com. All right, let's get to this.
All right, 24/7 Sports. Brad Crawford gave projections for every Big Ten team, the finishing order in each division. And let's go through that right now. And then it goes game-by-game breakdowns for each team. So I'll give you the division finishes, then we can circle in on Illinois, okay, who he has Illinois beating and losing to. But okay, you want to start with the East or the West?
Start with the East.
In the East, you've got the Buckeyes and Michigan Wolverines, both projected as one-loss teams, 11-1 overall, 8-1 in the conference. I've seen nationally Michigan is projected higher,
yeah,
in top 25s than Ohio State. Of course, one finally got over the hump. Was it they won the last two?
They won the last, two.
So yeah, 2 years ago got over the hump, and then last year beat them again, going to the college football playoff. Not the best showings there in the playoff, but Jim Harbaugh has been able to get that going in terms of beating the Buckeyes. Penn State, you've talked about it, how good they're supposed to be. They're a preseason top 10 team. 10-2, 7-2 is their projection. Is one of those two losses Illinois? I will fill you in on that later. Maryland, 7-5, 4-5 in the conference. Michigan State, 6-6. Rutgers, 4-8. Indiana, 3-9, 1-8.
I agree with those predictions. Now, Michigan, of course, has J.J. McCarthy back, who is their starting quarterback, who, by the way, is a native of Illinois. But
is he still dating the same girl?
Oh, I forgot about that.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. I actually do. And that's a Michigan team that Illinois should have beaten. And I'm talking like they had him beat. And then they got a little help, Michigan did. Shocking, shocking. Yep. But imagine that, how close Illinois was to beating Michigan, a team that was then in the Final Four, essentially.
They were.
And, yeah, this will be interesting. That Ryan Day, as good as Ohio State is every year, how about the fact that he has lost two straight to Michigan? If he loses three straight to Michigan, wow.
It's not going to sit over well there in Columbus.
Not. I mean, I don't think it cost him his job.
No.
But certainly that is going to be – and they've got two unbelievable wide receivers. I can't
– they've been turning them out, man.
Jeez. Who's their quarterback?
Well, Stroud just got drafted by the Texans, so I don't know who's next
in
line for them.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't. Can I say something that's really weird, and then we get right back to this? You know how I am. You know this haze that has come in?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the last 2 days have been the only days I can ever remember in my life where there's zero wind? And this is when we need wind. I was pulling into Mahomet yesterday and saw an American flag sitting as still as I've ever seen it. And I'm staring across the street at a tree that finally just moved. And I'm just like, why do we have, like, this is when we need wind to get this stuff. Anyway, I'm back. I don't know who Ohio State, I'm guessing, because the one kid that came in as the stud, right, then he took off and went to Texas, McCures. Didn't he make like $1 million NIL or something at Columbus and didn't even play?
Oh, yeah. I do remember that story.
Is that Quinn McCures or am I?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Maybe I'm somebody else. But you know Ohio State's got another stud, and I'm sure they've got unbelievable offensive linemen and unbelievable defensive linemen and a couple of guys in the secondary that'll be first-round draft picks.
I mean, every year you can
just reload. Just reload.
But Marvin Harrison Jr. still
yes,
in that
yes,
receiving core. Of course, Smith and Jigba just got drafted this mm-hmm, past season. Garrett Wilson was a rookie for the Jets last year that was really, really good.
There's another wide receiver. So I had read, I think it was a 24/7 Sports article on all Big Ten preseason teams, and I went through that, which will get me to the next team of Penn State, but I swear there were two Ohio State wide receivers on that list as all Big Ten wide receivers, including Harrison, who's like 6'4". What was Marvin? Marvin was he 6 foot, 6'1"? Well, not huge.
Yeah, but I don't remember him being that tall.
But he was not. I mean, he and Reggie Wayne were not big dudes. But
Harrison was 6 foot.
Okay. That's about right. And Marvin Harrison Jr. is 6'4". And I guess as quick as his dad and runs routes as good as his dad. So yeah, I'll take him in Arizona, if you're asking.
Marvin Harrison, by the way, I was looking him up. Let's see, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 straight years with 1,000 yards.
Wow. He was unreal. I mean, Peyton Manning was pretty nice to have Peyton throwing to you. But still,
say.
That said, He was unreal. And he and Reggie, and of course, you had great tight ends there with him. Was that Dallas Clark with him?
Dallas Clark, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that
even
was.
Even a good slot man in Brandon Stokely.
Oh, that's right. And Edgerrin James back there.
That's right.
That was a hell of a team.
Man, Michigan's got both McCarthy and Blake Corum back.
Oh, that's right. Corum came back. And they've got another running back right behind him.
Donovan Edwards,
yeah,
yep.
That's just as good. So, look, this is going to be fun to see. I mean, that East Division, I think Penn State has an outside chance of shocking people. I really do. And I know you just said that he's projected him at 10-2, so it's not like they'd be shocking. But I'm talking about either beating Michigan or Ohio State. Is it this simple that it just comes down to the Michigan-Ohio State game again for the winner
most
of the
likely.
East? I mean, I haven't sat there and studied the schedule that well, but
that's the easy bet every year. And yeah. I have to look and see, yeah, the home and away. Does Penn State get, like, Michigan at home, maybe a better chance? That the whiteout game there. I wonder if Penn State has good enough quarterback play. Like, Sean Clifford was never good enough for them.
Right.
He didn't.
Right.
I know he had some injuries mixed in there, but they haven't had – I know Trace McSorley was kind of really the one real standout QB that was able to push them over the top here in the last – within recent memory. That's been one thing that's been different about Penn State maybe versus the other teams, especially Ohio State, was the passing game.
But they're going to rely on the run game this year. They've got a couple of stud running backs, and I think about that, and the only reason – and I know we'll get to this – the only reason that – I could see Illinois upending Penn State here at Memorial Stadium is because the strength of this Illini defense, I think, should be the run defense. When you've got the law firm up front, you've got Terrell Edwards, you've got some big guys up front, you've got good outside linebackers, good middle linebackers with Tariq Barnes back.
Yep.
I don't know about the secondary yet. Now, I'm guessing it'll be fine, but I feel like Penn State almost bring in what you can match, if that makes sense. Now, I know they have other talent, and I think they've got a linebacker supposed to be the best in the Big Ten. So they've got individuals that are really, really good, should be all Big Ten guys. But I think Illinois can battle Penn State because of the idea that they can kind of contain. You know, I don't know that you ever shut down Penn State, but they can kind of contain that running game. So that's going to be a fun game.
Yeah, it says here in the article that Penn State should have potentially two 1,000-yard rushers. Nick Singleton and Catron Allen are the nation's best backfield duo, not named Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards. Brad Crawford for 24/7 Sports saying the two best backfields in the country both reside in the Big Ten with Michigan and then Penn State.
Okay.
That will be a big game, especially if Illinois is able to take down Kansas.
Yes.
Aaron Lawrence come back being 2-0 and
let's go
and Nittany Lions. Let's go on
Do
to
we
the
play
West.
Michigan, by the way, real quick.
No.
Maryland, the only one other team I want to talk about, because Illinois plays Maryland. Now they still have the Tua Tagovailoa. Yeah, Tagovailoa. How?
Oh, Tua is with the Dolphins. Talia.
Talia. How do you say it again?
Tagovailoa.
Tagovailoa. No,
Tagovailoa.
Tagovailoa. There. Like I'm adding like Frank Viola at the end, the former Twins pitcher.
The more I say it, the less sure I am about it.
Maryland's supposed to be pretty good. They're supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah.
So, and our old friend coaching that team. So
Mike Loxley.
We'll see. We'll see about Maryland. And Illinois plays at Maryland, right?
They do. That'll
be one of those weird, like, I'm not going to lie to you, I don't get up for an Illinois-Maryland game. Or an Illinois-Rutgers game. And that'll be
when you hosted the COVID season tailgate party for Illinois at Rutgers, you got up for that one. And so did I.
That night ended with me washing dishes, but not using any soap or something. And then the next morning waking up at 6 a.m. after a vicious windstorm and having one tent tethered to the ground by one little thing without blowing over and breaking my neighbors. And I looked out at 6 a.m. and I'm like, oh my God. And the tent was completely ripped off except for like one piece. So I already knew then I owed my buddy a new tent. And I'm like, how am I going to get this? Like, because the wind was still blowing. And I texted my good friend Alan Leach and I'm like, Alan, I'm going to need you, man. And he goes, we're three blocks away. So at, I guess at the end of the night, we had agreed to meet at like six, maybe it was like seven. I think he said, I'll be back at seven to help you tear things down. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I don't, of course, remember any of that. And then I text him that morning and I'm like, Alan, I'm going to need you, man. He goes, we're three blocks away in Philo. I'm like, oh, perfect. Let me get dressed. Yeah, that's true. That was a pretty
good time. That was a good time. And Illinois won that game.
They did.
And Isaiah Williams played quarterback and rushed for a ton of yards.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Oh, memory.
Wasn't the year before, who did we play that, the kid out of Springfield? Karan?
Karan Taylor.
Karan Taylor ran crazy on a team, but we lost. Was it Purdue?
It was Purdue or Minnesota. I couldn't remember which one.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Well, I'll quit talking about that. But anyway, that'll be a low-key, pretty big game against Florida, or against Maryland, excuse me. And yet, it'll be one of those where I'm like, oh, Illinois plays Maryland today. At midfield where it looks like the Baltimore Ravens and it looks like something in like Barcelona. Like, what is that? what is that thing? I don't know what it is. I still don't know what it is. So there we go. That's all I got on the East.
All right. Let's go to the West. Wisconsin is projected to win the West.
Boo.
10-2 overall, 7-2 in the conference. Iowa at 9-3, 6-3 in the conference. Minnesota 8-4, Nebraska 7-5. People are going to have some nits to pick with that.
New coach.
It feels like Nebraska is overprojected every year.
Yes.
Now maybe Matt Rhule is going to change that because Scott Frost was not getting it done. The Illini are projected at 6-6, 4-5 in the Big Ten. Purdue, Ryan Walters' first year in West Lafayette, 4-8, 2-7 in the conference.
Under.
And Pat Fitzgerald could have another rough one. 2-10, 0-9 in the Big Ten is the projection.
Okay. I feel like the voters in the West just dialed it in. Like, what do you think? How you guys okay with Wisconsin winning it? Yeah! I did see.
Well, see, to be fair, this is just one guy's opinion.
No, I know. I'm kidding. I did see an article about Wisconsin and how
they have a transfer quarterback. Well, Luke Fickell's the coach
there.
And they actually finally have what looks to be a pretty good quarterback in Tanner Mordecai from SMU.
That's right. And that was the thought on this article, is that the article is essentially the AD of Wisconsin saying, hey, get ready for Wisconsin football to look completely different than you ever remember it. Like, yeah, we're still going to run the ball on occasion, but we're going to be spreading the field. There's going to be a lot of passes. This is not your, you know, even your older brother's.
This is not the Ron Dane offense.
This isn't your older brother's Wisconsin team. So that'll be interesting, because if I'm Wisconsin, I don't know how far I get away from what's worked for years. You understand, and we saw it right here, how the weather gets late in a Big Ten season.
That's true.
And surely in Wisconsin, it's not going to get any better. So if you're battling cold and wind and you're relying on the pass like that, it'll be interesting. But if you're good enough, you can still get it done. And I'm sure their defense is incredible.
Usually is.
Like it
and
is.
And our boy. Yeah. No, wait, he's gone.
No, he's gone. Where'd he go?
Is he gone, or did he end up going back? Because didn't he say he was?
Oh, that's right, because he didn't get the job, right?
Right, Jim Leonard. Is he there now, or did he just move on?
I don't think he ever left.
Man,
how do we not know this?
I don't think he's currently with them, unless I'm wrong.
Where is he at now? That's weird.
Well, his Twitter page says University of Wisconsin defensive coordinator. But his last tweet was on December 6th.
Hmm. You know,
I will no longer be part of the staff.
Wow.
I don't know where he is.
Because didn't we think he'd be maybe the defensive coordinator for Illinois?
It was a thought in terms of the...
Or was that just you and I?
We would have loved to see it happen, but I think him taking that job was unlikely.
By the way, Brian thinks it was the moms, not the dads on that Blues trip. He's probably right.
Mm.
I know they do a dad's trip every year, but that was probably the moms. All right, so
I do think that the ability to both run the football. I mean, they got Braylon Allen still,
right? Exactly.
Is he still there? They're going to run the football.
Yes.
But the ability to have a quarterback that can open it up a little bit and have a competent passing game, that really allows you. I mean, you got to be able to to have that, to beat a Michigan, Ohio State, if you get to the Big Ten championship game. And it's been a while since, has it not been a while since it's a Big Ten West representative in the college football playoff?
Was it Northwestern? No. I was just thinking the Big Ten game. Yes, it's been a while.
Or has there been one?
I don't think there's been one. Is that right? And this is the last year of the divisions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, interesting.
So maybe a little bit of an overprojection on Wisconsin, but not to say on Wisconsin there. That's kind of their catchphrase.
Oh,
boiler up. Boiler up while I'm at it.
Oh,
Iowa 9-3.
I know. Again,
I haven't dug into what Iowa's depth chart looks like.
Laporta's gone, right? The tight end. Was that his name?
Yeah, he got drafted.
He was unbelievable. He killed teams. Shocking.
He's playing quarterback for them. Because they haven't had a good quarterback since Nate Stanley.
Was it – who's the guy that was there for like 3 years and just never really did much?
I don't know. Their offense has stunk it up here the last couple seasons.
He really has. And they've had that running back that started since a freshman, but Illinois has always done well against him. Are we at Iowa? We are. We've got Wisconsin here, and I think we're at Iowa.
Yeah, let's zero in on Illinois' game-by-game projections here. Okay. So Crawford has Illinois beating Toledo, losing at Kansas, losing at home against Penn State, beating FAU, winning at Purdue, losing at home to Nebraska, losing at Maryland, beating Wisconsin at
home. All right.
Upset there. At Minnesota, losing, beating Indiana at home, losing at Iowa, and beating Northwestern.
So 6-6.
6-6.
So the toss-up games, you got a lot of toss-up games. Kansas is definitely a toss-up game. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say Penn State is. You got Purdue at Purdue is a toss-up game. I mean, Purdue, I feel like they're being undervalued here. They got a pretty good quarterback coming.
Hudson Card.
It was the guy that Illinois wanted, right, before Luke. But then Nebraska, I mean, is that really a toss-up game? Did Matt Rhule do that much at Carolina Panthers to all of a sudden he's going to come in and dominate?
With Baylor, for sure, and they went out and pretty active in the portal.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know.
On your home field, you would maybe it's a toss-up, but I would lean towards Illinois in that game.
I would,
game.
Too. I think I'd be more
same
confident.
With the Purdue game.
Yeah.
Toss-up, but lean Illinois. I think Illinois got the better roster.
Would agree. Would totally agree. It all comes down to Luke, right?
Luke Altmyer, yeah.
It all comes down to Luke Altmyer.
And, I mean, I think the secondary
mm-hmm.
matters, but you're not playing in the Big 12.
Right.
It's different when you're facing a lot of pass-heavy, got to score 35 to win.
That's type exactly of, right.
Type of games. It's the Big 10. It's still going to be a run-first type of league, and I think if Illinois' front seven's good enough, your secondary can probably get by in most matchups. There's going to be some – like playing Maryland, if your secondary is suspect and Tagovailoa is whiffing around, it could be a tough day for you.
Yeah. He says, I don't understand the Minnesota love. QB is finally gone, right? I threw the finally gone in there. And the running back's
Tanner Morgan's
gone.
Finally gone. And Ibrahim.
Or Ibrahim. Yeah, he's gone. And then 217. Iowa's been – freaking 9-3 since I started watching football at 2 years old. Never great, but never bad. It's so true. It's so true. Would that get boring at Illinois?
No.
It wouldn't, right? To go 8-4?
I don't think so. You're going to have the – if that becomes so consistent, you're going to eventually want the breakthrough season. Why are we not –
yeah.
Winning 10 or 11, having the quote-unquote our year where we go to the college football playoff. But for Illinois, where the bar is, let's just go to a bowl game. If it changed over to be 9-3, nine wins every year, I don't think you get bored with that.
How funny is it that in football, it's all about the regular season, and in basketball, it's all about March?
That's interesting.
I mean, really, I know you and I have discussed that, but like –
think about this. That's a great point, and I know we're running out of time, but as you look back at Illinois football season this past year, 8-4, mm-hmm. right? Went to a pretty good bowl game and lost. Yeah. You had guys sitting out. It wasn't a real, like, our best against your best type of situation, it's pretty equivalent to like finishing top four, top five in the Big Ten in basketball and getting a good seed in the tournament, and then it's over.
Yeah, then like, it's
then,
done.
Then nothing beyond that, it stops.
Yeah, you're right. And really, honestly, guys sitting out of bowl games now has really put a damper on bowl games.
100%.
So unless you make the college football playoff, which they're going to expand, unless you do that, the regular season's where it's at. And I feel like, and don't get me wrong, I get as fired up for an Indiana-Illinois basketball or Illinois-Michigan or Illinois-Iowa basketball game as any of you, but I get more fired up for an Illinois-Iowa or Illinois-Michigan or Wisconsin football game because I feel like that's where it matters. Like, we could lose to Indiana twice in basketball, make the Sweet 16, and you wouldn't remember you lost to Indiana twice. I mean, maybe you would, but unless it cost you the Big Ten. But, and I'm not,
I get what you're saying.
I'm not saying you could stink in football, but we beat Wisconsin. I mean, we did that one year. And that, I mean, that still didn't make up for the fact you didn't make a bowl game. But it's almost like the regular season means so much more in football because the bowl games have been downgraded, essentially. And I don't know. And it kind of, again, it kind of stinks that with Michigan and Ohio State in your conference because it just feels like you'll never play in the, although with an expanded, if you win, we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
Who will?
I'm sure Brett enjoys the challenge. I'll put it that way.
No doubt.
I'm sure he does. So, all right. We got to get out of here.
Do. You're going to be gone tomorrow. Joey Wagner guest co-hosting with me.
Nice.
And we have efforted a good show on the guest-wise. I'll tease this one out. We got three guests in line.
Whoa.
And the headliner is, this was just booked while we were on the air. Ty Rogers.
Nice.
Will join us at 4:05 tomorrow.
You want to explain the other two or not yet?
I can tell you the other two.
Yeah.
We're also going to have Jenna Giacone, the director of scouting and player development for the Illini women's basketball team.
Oh, sweet.
And then also a linebacker on the Illini football team, Kanena Odaluga.
Oh, yeah.
From Mount Carmel. He's going to talk about the Lift for Life.
Awesome.
Events and also some off-season happenings with the.
It's going to be a big show.
Off-season there, Brett Bielema and company. So.
Okay.
We're guesty, but we're excited about it.
I like it. We've got an 11 a.m. game in Columbia, Missouri, so it's a 5 a.m. set-off. So the game should be done by the time I'll be sitting poolside listening to the drive. How about that?
Yeah! Sounds good.
I'll take that over. I don't know. I'd still like to work, though, if you're having those kind of guests, man. That's awesome. All right, good stuff. We'll talk to everybody tomorrow. It is the drive. Illini fans, stock up on great Illini gear this summer at the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, Game Day Spirit. Their famous buy one, get one free shirt selection is perfect for summer and has some great new designs. Shop their line of polos and other business casual apparel from great brands like Nike, Cutter & Buck, Tommy Bahama, and more. Refresh your wardrobe this summer at Game Day Spirit, located at the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign, 6th and Green in Campustown, and online at GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
As our nation celebrates its 247th birthday this July, Gale Frerichs Trucking is extending a firecracker of a deal to professional Class A CDL drivers interested in joining our team. In addition to our standard offering of great percentage pay, paid holidays and vacations, pre-planned dispatches, benefits, home time every weekend, and $1,200 per week gross pay guarantee, drivers that join us in the month of July will receive an additional $247 per week for the first 16 weeks with us. Take the family out to dinner when you're home every weekend, or use it as a Christmas fund. It doesn't matter to us. This is America, and you have the freedom to do with it what you want. If you have a Class A CDL and would like to explore our regional van and flatbed opportunities and work for a company that works as hard for you as you do for them, call Tim at 765-793-7131 or email timo@gftlog.com.
When Ross went out, I always told him, be careful. And that was the last time I got to see him.
Because someone didn't slow down and move over. Ross had on a bright orange shirt with reflective stripes the night he was killed.
He always had that smile. He just lit up the room when he came in.
Slow down and move over when you see flashing lights.